Good Monday. Today is March the 24th, and you're listening to My Farm. Well, a busy program we have lined up today. We're going to start off with an interview from Mike Steenhook with the Soy Transportation Coalition. We're also going to talk about the sign-up deadline for the Dairy Margin Coverage Program and also some Ohio representatives being elected as officers to the National Pork Producers Council. All that after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants, simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
Joining me today is Mike Steenhook. He is the Executive Director of the Soy Transportation Coalition. Mike, thanks so much for being with us. And before we get into it, I need to congratulate you on receiving the Tom Oswald Legacy Award during a ceremony last evening. Quite an honor, and you definitely deserving of that award.
Well, that's very kind, and really appreciate the United Soybean Board for the honor. And it was particularly poignant that it's named the Tom Oswald Legacy Award, because you know Tom Oswald was a really distinguished farmer leader for the Iowa Soybean Association as well as for the United Soybean Board. I had the pleasure over the years to call Tom a friend. He died unexpectedly a few years ago, and so it was very poignant to receive a award in his name, and obviously just a reminder of what an honor it is to work on behalf of some of the most extraordinary people on the planet, and that's America's soybean farmers.
Well, you're very humble, but that's, again, well-earned. Well, let's talk about some different topics going on in the soy transportation world, and one that seems like it just keeps coming up time and time again: water levels on the Mississippi River and prospects for barge transportation as we go into the new year.
Yeah, so when you look kind of further south on the Mississippi River, so places like Memphis, like New Orleans, you'll see water levels that are pretty sufficient. But once you start getting kind of that St. Louis on north, there are some red flags, and you know we are at kind of low water conditions. And this is the time of the year when you look at over the 12-month period that you need to see these water levels start to elevate. Because what you want is that when you enter into the drier months of the year, summer and fall, you enter that from a position of strength, not from a position of weakness. You want some abundance. You want some slack in the system. And right now, we really don't have that. So that's obviously a concern. So we want some additional precipitation for not only for farm ground to help replenish and recharge the soil, but also for water levels on our rivers. We also need to keep in mind that farmers care about the inland waterway system, not just in the fall when it comes to exporting soybeans and grain, but also in the spring, like March and April, because there's a lot of northbound fertilizer that gets sent, obviously, to correspond with planting season. And so we need to have an inland waterway system that's fully operational, you know, throughout the course of the year.
How have we been doing with some of the infrastructure projects with the dredging and then repair and maintenance on some of those locks and dams?
Yeah, you know, that's certainly an ongoing process. One of the things that the last several years of having low water on the river has really stimulated is more action by the Army Corps of Engineers to do more advanced dredging. One of the rules when it comes to maintaining an infrastructure is the best time to respond to a challenge is before the challenge, not actually after the challenge. So one of the things that we saw is that, you know, if you start seeing storm clouds on the horizon, if you will, if you see low water conditions start to materialize, that's the time to activate those dredges, get on the front end of it. So we have seen much better performance over the last couple of years. So that's obviously good news. And, you know, we do continue to see some additional commitment from the federal government and actual funding flowing to some of these lock and dam projects that certainly needs to continue. We've got a lot of work that remains to be done, but at least we're seeing some positive momentum in that regard.
Dynamic changes going on right now with the new administration at the federal level. Any prospects maybe for new investment within the infrastructure, or is it really a wait and see like everything else seems to be?
Yeah, we certainly hope so. I know that they're obviously looking at all elements of government spending, and you know a lot of that is welcome. You know, we do need to be good stewards of taxpayer dollars. We are pleased that some of a number of infrastructure projects that have received federal grants in you know the previous couple years, soybean farmers have actually committed some funding toward it. So you know there's a project at the Port of Milwaukee on the Great Lakes system, a couple of them in the Pacific Northwest. We've committed funding down to the lower Mississippi River. That funding is continuing to proceed uninterrupted, unmitigated. We all obviously hope for that to continue. But as far as moving forward, One of the things that President Trump in his first term frequently discussed is the need to invest in infrastructure. That's something that he gets. And so I don't see him having a change of perspective in his second term. Obviously, it needs to be wise investments. It needs to be prudent. But I do think he understands how, if you want to outcompete the rest of the world, it's not just about growing stuff that people want. It's also about getting it from point A to point B in the most cost-effective, reliable manner. Winning in the international marketplace is just as much a function of transportation as production.
Right. You can grow it, you can sell it, but you got to get it to them.
Yeah.
Again, my guest today has been Mike Steenhoek, Executive Director of the Soy Transportation Coalition. We'll be back with Mike more tomorrow, but stay tuned. We've still got more coming up after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants, simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
Taking a quick look at your agricultural headlines, the U.S. Department of Agriculture is encouraging dairy producers to enroll in dairy margin coverage. That's an important safety net program that helps offset milk and feed price differences. This year's DMC signup began on January 29th. The deadline to enroll in that was coming up at the end of the month on March the 31st. Now, the American Relief Act of 2025 extended provisions of the Agricultural Improvement Act of 2018, that being the 2018 Farm Bill, authorizing the DMC for coverage year 2025. DMC provides dairy operations with risk management coverage that pays producers when the difference or that margin between the national price of milk and the average cost of feed falls below certain levels selected by the program's participants. DMC offers different levels of coverage minus that $100 administrative fee. And the administrative fee is waived for dairy producers who are considered limited resources, beginning, socially disadvantaged, or a military veteran. DMC payments are calculated using updated feed and premium hay costs, making that program more reflective of actual dairy producers' expenses. For more information on dairy margin coverage, contact your local USDA service center. In other agricultural news, the National Pork Producers Council elected new leadership to guide the pork industry forward into 2025. The National Pork Producers Council has elected their officers and board members, and these seasoned leaders will continue to advocate for policies benefiting U.S. pork producers, ensuring the industry's growth, sustainability, and resilience on a national level. Now, according to Brian Humphreys, the CEO, the strength of the National Pork Producers Council lies in the leadership and vision of those who serve. Our newly elected officers and board members bring decades of experience and a deep commitment to advancing and defending the interests of U.S. pork producers. Their leadership will be instrumental as we tackle challenges, drive progress, and ensure a strong future. Now, two of those board members from right here in Northwest Ohio, the president of National Pork Producers Council for 2025-26 is Dwayne Statler. Dwayne is a fifth-generation pork producer from Hancock County. Dwayne operates Statler Family Farms along with his son Anthony. They've been actively involved in the national and state-level agriculture policy discussions and served as a strong voice for producers on sustainability and environmental stewardship. Also from Ohio, Pat Hord from Bucyrus. As CEO of Hord Family Farms, Pat has led a diversified agriculture operation, overseeing the growth of the family business while remaining involved in industry policy. Pat has been a key advocate for U.S. pork producers, shaping policy at the national level through his work with the NPPC committees. That's what's making agricultural news on my farm. For my 102.7 WMYW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great day.